Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me?
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. We thank you all for coming in and tuning in tonight. Tonight we have a special show, as we are taught by the Honorable Elijah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is time for us to separate. Separate, separation, or death. And the Time to Leave movement was inspired by Dr. Rishli Mufmin Muhammad after hearing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's separation or death speech in 2018 at the Day of Atonement, 2017. So what we're about is, we're about encouraging brothers and sisters to either control the community they live in, or if you cannot control the community you live in, to move to a community that you can control. So this is our challenge. And as Muslims and those who recognize it's time for us to separate, we have to be at the forefront of that. We have to be the ones who inspire the rest of our people to be pioneers, to show them what a separate society of Black people can look like. And in addition, to be able to show them that we can control our community, be able to work together in peace and harmony. So with that being said, we have a special show tonight. We have a brother who's a guest of our wonderful sister, Sister Naomi Muhammad. Sister is from St. Louis, Missouri, and she has reached out to Brother Tremikas from Phoenix, Arizona. And so Brother Tremikas is working with the local organizing committee in that area, and they're striving hard to control the community that they live in. And so I'm going to bring on Sister Naomi right now.
Okay.
Sister Naomi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome to the show, and thank you for your hard work that you're doing with the Time to Leave movement. And what I'm going to do is, Brother Tremikas is here, so I'm going to open his mic, and I'm going to let you do the introduction. Brother Tremikas?
I'm here.
Okay, great. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Tremikas.
Wa alaikum salam. Sister, can you say your name for me again?
Yes, sir. It's Sister Naomi.
Yande. Thank you, sister.
Yes, sir. So, Brother Tremekis, first, let me thank you for taking the time out of your day to be on our call tonight.
Yes,
I invite you onto the call so that you can talk about the important work that you're doing there in Phoenix with the local organizing committee. So,
yes, ma'am.
Those of us that may be on the call and may not know what a local organizing committee is, begin by telling us a little bit about what an LOC is and what an LOC does, what its function is.
Yes, ma'am. So the LOC, the local organizing committee around the country, were originally started for the development of bringing our brothers and sisters to Washington, D.C., at least in this modern time, for the bringing our brothers and sisters to Washington, D.C., for the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March. Our responsibility was to mobilize and organize our people, get the word out, get our people to D.C., for that movement, which was Justice for L. After the march, the minister was talking during the march, and he talked about the most important day not being October the 15th, but being October the 16th, being the day after being the most important part. At that point, the LOCs around the country became the organizing body for the Justice for L movement, the development of the nine ministries as a whole, and hopefully we'll be able to get more into that later on, and really the advocates to bring our people to the understanding that we have to begin to do something for ourselves, that we can no longer depend on the dominant society to provide for us, to care for us, to give us what we need. We have to mobilize and organize the talent and the genius among ourselves, and this is what the LOC is principally responsible for, and making, for our sake, making the word and the vision of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and so many, Marcus Garvey and others that we can talk about, making that vision and their word bond so that our people can truly experience freedom, justice, and equality like never before seen since we came to the hills of North America.
Praise be to Allah. Wonderful, wonderful. So, Brother Tremekis, would you tell us a little bit about yourself personally, what you do on a day-to-day basis? Give us a brief introduction of who Brother Tremekis
is. Yes, ma'am. So, I came into the Nation of Islam when I was 16 years old. At the age of about 20, I became a study group coordinator in the Nation of Islam for the city of Flint and the city of Saginaw, Michigan. I've been in the Nation of Islam now going on 26 years. This year will be my 26th year in the Nation of Islam. My work seeing for me, I found my purpose starting with the Million Man March. I did attend the Million Man March, and every gathering after that, particularly with the development of the nine ministries, I became the LOC coordinator for Flint, Michigan. I held that position for quite a while. I was responsible for helping to coordinate LOCs throughout the central region. I also am married. I've been married for 14 years. Some on the call may know my wife. She's a hip-hop artist in the Nation of Islam known as Arian Nicole. That is my wife. We've been married for 14 years. We have five children, and we have one grandbaby that's on the way. I want to throw that in there before I get too far. Right now, my primary responsibility for the last 4 years has been the organizing of the LOC here in Phoenix, Arizona. Before that, I was the organizer for the nine ministries from Muhammad's Mosque number 32. So this work of the nine ministries, this work of organizing has become my life work. For the most part, I spend my days reaching out to brothers and sisters, organizing brothers and sisters, finding the talent in our community, bringing it together, and just focusing on developing those things that we need, whether it's organizing to develop school. We have put plans together for our own independent school. Whether it is organizing brothers and sisters in the neighborhoods on the ground to begin to protect their communities and make their communities safe and decent places to live, developing agricultural programs so that we can grow our own food, and the list goes on. Economic development, I work with a team of brothers and sisters so that we can begin the process of supporting and buying from our own people, as well as developing our own economy. So I hope I'm answering your question, sister. My day-to-day work is just primarily the development of the nine ministries, the establishment of the LOC, and I hope that one day I can help reestablish LOCs all around the country and make them stronger.
Yes, sir. And you're doing a wonderful job in answering my question.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. So tell us why the work that you're doing in the community is so important.
You know, sister, and Brother Carlton hit on it in the beginning of the call, the Nation of Islam is well aware of the need for us to separate. When we hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say separation or death, we know it's not just a slogan or some emotional chant. But the greater community is for the most part not aware fully that, as Dr. Martin Luther King said, that he had integrated his people into a burning house. We've integrated into a burning house. When Dr. Martin Luther King was asked, what should we do? He said that we should be firemen. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan put a different thought on that. When this house, as it burns, we don't have the ability, we don't have the strength or the know-how to put it out, because the burning of the house is being done by God himself. So our job in the LOC is to make, and the importance of our work is that we are making the broader community aware of what's happening and how we can prepare ourselves to escape the destruction of America. We don't have a future in this country, and it's quite evident. I was talking to a group of brothers last night. We did a radio program, and I asked the brothers the question. In the time of Dr. Martin Luther King, nearly 50 years ago, what were we fighting for? And the answer from the brothers was, we were fighting for jobs, we were fighting for justice, we were fighting for equal education, we were fighting for equal treatment in the political process. And I asked the question, well, what are we fighting for today? And we're fighting for the same thing 50 years later. So it has become apparent that the government of the United States of America has no desire to give us what we've been asking for. So we can continue to go to the polls and vote, and I understand that, and it has its place. But at the same time, we have to begin the process of preparing ourselves so that if the government will not give us what we need, then we can't keep putting our children in an education system that does not give them the education that they deserve for them to be free, justified, and equal. We have to begin the process now of developing our own school system. That's the job of the LOC. We talked about the food deserts. This is in our conversation last night, and it's a national conversation where many of our communities are what are called food deserts, meaning that we don't have enough grocery stores or enough places where people can go, and farmers markets, things of that nature, where people can go and buy food. So they're forced to go to the markets and buy cheaper genetically modified foods. Well, we have to begin the process of growing our own food. Our people have to be taught that and how to get involved in agriculture and open up our own stores. And the list goes on and on, sister. I could talk on it forever. The infant mortality rate. The infant mortality rate for black children throughout the country is the highest. Some 11-13% of our babies dying. Here in Phoenix, Arizona, in Maricopa County, they counted a baby dying every other block. While our sisters are not getting the proper care, and the children are not surviving. They're not making it past the age of one. What do we do about that? When our sisters are suffering the way that they are suffering, where postpartum death among our sisters is the highest of any women in the country, what do we do about that? So we have a very important job. Our job, to answer your question briefly, not to be too long, sister, is to make sure that our people are aware of what's happening and that they are aware that there are solutions that we can apply ourselves without asking the government to help us. So that's the importance of our work today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very good. Very good. Another excellent answer. Thank you. So, Brother Tremikas, in order for our work in the communities to be successful, which obviously also includes the work that you're doing there in Phoenix, we have to work with those in the larger community, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So, if you would talk to us a little bit about who are you working with in the community there in Phoenix?
The primary membership of the Phoenix LOC are not members of the Nation of Islam. Of course, because we are followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we're naturally members. But in terms of the working members of the LOC, they are the brothers and sisters that you see every day. You know, sister, what I'm discovering is that the idea that we have is an idea that's right on time. So we work with the political leadership. We work with what they call gangs. I'm going to say so-called gangs, brothers and sisters that are on the street. We work with activists in the community. We work with, we look for like minds, and we don't have a note that says you got to be Muslim. We don't have a note that says that you have to be religious and Christian or in the church. We don't have a note for any of those things. Everything that we do is for the community. Excuse me, for the community as a whole to be welcomed in. So for those of us who are Muslim, we use the term lost found, but we are all lost found. So I hope I'm answering your question, sister. We work with the brother and sister that you see every day in the street. That's who we work with.
Yes, sir.
And it's important that point be understood, because sometimes we relegate what we have to just our small circle, not realizing that all of our people are coming open to this idea. It's not an idea that's a Muslim idea. It's an idea of God that he brought through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that's good for all of the people. It is the proper prescription for the sickness that we suffer from.
Yes, sir. Indeed. So you just gave us a very important piece of the time to lead movement, if I can call it that, although it's a cradle, that really, really important for you. But for the sake of the show, and the realization that all of our people, the brown, the red, the yellow, anyone that wants to be a part of the effort in building a world separate from our enemies are welcome, and we need those minds. So,
yes, ma'am.
With that, then, how have you been so successful at establishing relationships with those in the larger community?
I would say that we have been blessed, all praises due to Allah. Our strongest point for anyone in the community that speaks on the Phoenix LLC is consistency. Consistency. When we started 4 years ago, we went to some of the Latino organizations here in the city, and we invited them to be a part. Well, they didn't want to be a part, sister. We kept moving. We went to some of the native groups. We had a hard time there. We kept moving. Now, just the other day, I'm sitting in the courtroom next to one of my Latino brothers fighting for a black grandmother to get her child back, and the majority of the people in the courtroom that came to support were Latinos, and they came because of the call, so-called Latinos, and they came because of the call that we made. But it was because of the consistency. It was the consistency. We can't stop pushing. The same thing with our brothers and sisters in the community. When we met, sister, to pull our people together, particularly the leadership in Phoenix, Arizona, behind the Justice of Elf movement, we called many of the pastors and leaders of organizations here in Phoenix. And all of them were telling us no for one reason or another. I met with an attorney here. I won't share the attorney's name. And I told them the reason that was being given to me by many of those in leadership of why they would not support the Justice of Elf movement. She said, Brother Tremekas, they're not telling you the truth. This attorney put me on a speakerphone and said, I want you to be quiet. I want you to listen. And this attorney began to call the same leadership that we had been reaching out to. And when this attorney introduced himself, they were happy to talk to her. And when she brought up the Justice of Elf movement, the tone of the conversation changed. And one straight out told us, all of them said similar, but one straight out told us, they said, well, we don't want to have anything to do with this Justice or Else movement. We don't know what Farrakhan means by this or else, so we don't want to touch it. I said, wow. But we didn't stop. We went back at it, trusting in the word of the minister, trusting in the guidance. He said to the Muslims, he said that this work of the Justice of Elf movement, he said to us, it would be the most important work that we would do since the coming of Master Farad Muhammad. So if that's his word and we trust in the movement, then we can't stop moving because the people don't respond. So let me tell you what has happened. Some of the same pastors that turned their back on us are some of the same ones that invited us into their churches. One of the pastors said, Brother, whatever you need, I got your back. But before, they were brushing us off. So the success that we have had is not because of some genius or some deep wisdom. No, the success that we have had was because we trusted and had faith in the word of the man of God. I'm saying that to the Muslims. If we trust in the word and the man that's delivering the word, then we will be successful. Not because we are so smart or we are so wise, but because Allah is with the man in his word, and he's guiding our success. And if we are humble and we put our egos to the side, oh, you know, these Negroes won't back us. Some wanted me and us to attack those that wouldn't back us, wanted us to put their names out there in the public so that they could be ridiculed. But that's not the way of the minister. So we followed his way. And because we follow his way, where they turned their back on us, we opened arms. Where they showed us rejection and sometimes hatred, we showed them love. We practiced turning the other cheek on our own people. And the love that we showed for them and the respect and the honor that we showed to them showed up any hatred or darkness or rejection that was in their own heart, and they had to open up to the truth of what we were saying. And when the leadership rejected us, we did the same as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did with the Million Man March. If the people didn't warn us, it's like the scripture sister in the story of Jesus. when Jesus sent the disciples out, or he gave the story of the man that sent the invitation out to those around his neighbors and asked them to come and have dinner with him and sit and sup with him. And they rejected. Then he told his servants, go out into the highways and byways. Go out into the highways and byways and find our poor, suffering, ignorant brothers and sisters who don't know. When I say ignorant, I mean they don't know. And begin to feed and teach and lead and guide them using what we have been taught, and watch them latch on to it and become the strongest support system for you and your work, because they know more than those who have benefited from the college education and the nearness and the acceptance of Pharaoh. The brothers and sisters in the street know better. They know that there's no future in this country for them, and if you give them vision, they will follow the vision. And they will join on to the movement. And you will start, as the minister would say, as a solo act, but turn into a choir. We turn it into a choir today, sister. So I hope I answered your question. The success that we've been blessed with is because we have been obedient. And that's
sister
it.
Tonight,
I have
thank
brothers
you,
and sisters that don't. Yes, I'm sorry,
brother. I'm sorry to
interrupt.
We have brother Sister Nyambe, brother Dr. Ridgely is on the line. So I opened up the line
because he's
in the Terrell County Commissioners meeting, and so this is probably the only time he'll get a chance to talk. Dr. Ridgely, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum. Yeah, we are.
Wa alaikum salam.
Can you hear me?
Islam.
Okay,
yes, sir.
We've been on since 11 minutes past 7. We are finished with the county commissioners meeting, and when we come to the Ministry of Agriculture conference call, we'll give you a little report on that. But what I want to ask my brother, when we say follow, you know, the way of Minister Farrakhan, what specifically did you do? I know it wasn't just a matter of repeating what the minister said and the way that he said it that got that finally broke through. I'm sure that there were some specific things that you all kept doing and that the people could see the benefit of your work. Is that right?
That is right. That is right. You know, one of the first things, and I'm thinking you're asking me a question you want me to answer now. I don't want to interrupt you.
Yes.
Okay.
What did you do?
Mm-hmm. One of the things he said specifically first is he said that no movement that we have will be successful if we don't go door to door. So the first thing we had to do was go into the neighborhood house to house. The other thing is, if you look, the Honorable Minister, Dr. Wrigley, you know this better than anybody. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talked to us about agriculture and knowing how to grow our own food. So what did we do? We went and found land. We didn't have money, brother, to purchase land, but we found land that had been donated to the community and brought the community out and started teaching them how to garden and how to farm agriculture.
Okay.
That's what he told us to do. He told us to teach the people to pool their resources, take their money out of the economy. He talked about it in the form of a boycott, but we took it another step further and took into boycott. So we not only talked to the community about boycott, we talked to the community about let's put together what we call cash mob. And let's find area businesses that are suffering and take our dollars out of our pocket and put it into these businesses. He talked to us about making our community safe and decent places to live. So we went into the community to talk to the community about the 10,000 fearless and about us, our lives between the gangs and the police to end police brutality and to stop the violence that we have among ourselves. So we went and literally listened to what the minister was saying all the way up until the march. We watched the march, and we broke it down. We didn't just listen to the lecture like you said, brother, you know, just to talk. We broke it down. What are the instructions in the lecture? And we pulled those instructions out, and we took them.
Excuse me.
We took them to the community and presented them to the community, and the community
bought
in wholeheartedly. Even to the point of town hall meetings, he told us to host these meetings and bring the community out and share the idea and share the vision, and they latched on to it.
Okay, my brother, now have you all written this up? in some form that we can put up on our Facebook page and on our websites?
We don't have it written out, brother.
Okay.
That we are
come
working
on now.
On.
Come on now.
That,
come on now.
That's something we're working on. We got.
On,
I got man. A. I got a couple of sisters that are going to write it out. What we have done is we've recorded everything we've done. So
well,
most of what we've done has been recorded.
Write it up because, you know, you can't hide your light underneath a bushel, brother. If nobody don't know, nobody don't know.
Yes, sir.
Let's
right.
make it happen.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Riggs. Thank you for all that you do, brother.
Yes, and I'd like to take this opportunity, brothers and sisters, you're on the line, you're being fed, you're hearing about our brother in the western region, in the Phoenix, Arizona area. He's taking what we've been taught, and he's actually putting it into action. If this is a golden opportunity for you to hit that one-year dial and ask our brother a question or share some words of encouragement with our brother, we're down to the last 28 minutes, so please press 1. Get in the question queue, ask your question, or leave your comment. Thank you. Go ahead, sister.
Do we have anyone in the queue for the call time?
Not at this time.
Okay. So, Mr. Meekins, you're doing a wonderful job in answering our questions, and I'm absolutely inspired by your responses.
Praise you, Twala. Thank you.
Me into my next question, and that's, by what methods are you using to establish good and long-standing relationships within the larger community?
We have to be there. So first, we have to be present on social media. That is true, and that's good, but that has to be coupled with us being present in the street. I'll give you, for instance, we had a sister who came to us. She was in a fight with DCS, which is the Department of Child Services here in Arizona. Well, she told us what she was dealing with, and the first thing that we did, sister, was put a group of brothers and sisters together to support her family and to go into the courtroom, to back her in the courtroom. We studied her case. We put letter-writing campaigns together. So we serve the people. They support us because we serve them.
Yes, sir.
We have to be there. A lot of us have gotten comfortable with social media, and I understand it. But we got to come up off those computers and those keyboards, and we got to couple that with actual work and labor in the community. And not just trying to get the people to do something for us. What are the concerns of the people? We went through the neighborhood with a survey, and in the survey, we asked the people several questions, but all of the questions had to do, majority of the questions had to do with what are your concerns in the community? What do you think needs to be done? And sister, the people swung their doors open. They was happy to tell us. And then the last question we would ask them was, what are you willing to do to help? And then we have to couple that with consistency. We can't be here today and going tomorrow. We have to be there. If we the only one out there, if it's just two of us, if it's just one of us, that's fine. Let's get out there and be consistent.
Wow. So Dr. Ridley has brought up a very valid point, Brother Tariq, because you all absolutely have to put this in writing. What you've done is you've already established a blueprint.
I got a caller, Sister Nyambi. I got a caller. I'm having trouble hearing you, too. I'm having trouble hearing you, but I'm going to go ahead and bring the caller in. And let's see. Caller with the last four digits, 7857. What is your name and where are you calling from? Caller, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Okay. I'd like to hear. Talk about more on the cash mob and how those work. Proceeded and what progress has gone on.
Okay.
Did you get that, Ms. Tamika?
What she asked me the question, what progress is going on?
No, I was able to understand what she said. So her question is, if you could talk a little bit more about the cash mob and how that works and how it has proceeded.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, okay. So the cash mob is very easy to do, and it's one of the best ways to get started. It's one of our strongest initiatives. What we do is we find black businesses in the area. We focus on those that are in trouble, and we focus on startups. Those that are in trouble and those that are startups. Sit down and have a conversation with the owners. Allow the owners to understand that when we come in to do the cash mob, there's going to be two things that happen. One of the things that's going to happen is we're going to support your business. We're going to bring the community out to support your business. But the second thing is you have to be able to take the critique that we give you so that we can develop the business and make it better. Once you get that understanding from the business owner, you put the word out. We're going to be at such and such place on such and such date. You come, you show up, the community come, and they just support, and they put their dollars in, and that's it. But what it does is it builds a camaraderie among the people. So we talk about reinvesting the black dollar. This is the physical manifestation of us reinvesting the black dollar. We've done dozens of these in the last few years, and they have all been successful. One of the brothers, he said he had been in business for 6 years, and the day of the cash mob, he said, was the most successful day of business that he had in 6 years. The other thing we did, we found all of the black beauty supply stores in Phoenix, Arizona, and we started supporting them with cash mob, but we also started working with them to organize so that they could become a collective buying block. And you can do this with any business. What we talk to them about is organizing themselves and their dollars, and we would help so that they could buy the products that the Koreans were buying at the same rate and be able to compete. So there's a lot that you can do with the cash mob, but the basics of it, find black businesses that are in trouble or startups, communicate with that ownership, get that ownership to buy into what you were doing, which is that we're not only going to support you, but we're going to help you become a better business. Even find those in the community who have marketing experience, find those who have business management experience, find those kind of people and bring those people together to be part of the cash mob. Most of our economic team are entrepreneurs. Most of them either work for themselves full-time or part-time. That makes a difference. They understand what's happening when they're talking to business owners, right? And they can give them advice. If they're successful, they can share their success with the business owner. Very important. Very important. And we're open, sister. I'm not a one-man team. I would give you all my contact information. We're open to guide any city in how we do it and give you even more detail. I know we don't have that much time on the call to write a book, but I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir. Do we have anyone else in the queue right now on the call?
Yes, ma'am. Myself, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Brother Jamaicus, I'm really excited about your philosophy of providing service to your community. We try to encourage people to control the communities you're in, but you can't make any inroads in controlling the community if the people don't know you and love you. And it sounds like you're establishing trust, a working relationship with them, and a reputation so that people will allow you to share the teachings and share what we're taught and share what we know that will start to make us an independent community. And so my question is, as you do that, what specific areas, what area of success that you see has taken you closer to getting an independent or a separate black community?
I think there's no one answer to that. I think that the biggest thing I'll say is that it's being relatable. Young Minister Louis Farrakhan said it like this. He said, meet a man where he is. We meet the people where they are. And then we guide them to where we're trying to get to. That's the best way I think I can answer that, Brother Kyle. We don't make no big odds, little U's. We don't make no greatness. We're brothers. So I'm not just concerned with you because you coming into the LOC and I don't know, you might donate to the LOC. No, I'm concerned with you as a person. Hmm. I'm concerned with you as my brother. So the members of the LOC, they're my family. We don't even call ourselves an organization. We're family. We're not trying to convert you in religion. We are not trying to tell you the way you live is wrong and the way I live is right. No, I'm just your brother. And I'm going to be the best example for you. And guess what? You know, if you need me, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to be there at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to be there at 4 o'clock in the evening. I'm concerned. We're concerned with your well-being, who you are as a person, what you're suffering, what's your marriage like, what's your relationship with your children like, what are your needs, are you hungry, can we help each other, do your bills, are you struggling with your bill, are you struggling to find a job, is drug addiction your problem? When we talk about service, what are the actual needs of the people that are surrounding us, and can we sit down on the curb with our brother in the street who's suffering, meet him where he is, shake his hand, love him, and hug him up, if you understand what I'm saying? If you can visually see yourself sitting next to a man on the curb and hugging him, and you standing up together, that's how you do it.
Thank you for your answer, brother.
To be successful, brother. Yes,
thank
sir.
You very much. Sister Niambi, we have a caller. Can I bring the caller on?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Caller with the last four digits, 7857. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, okay. This is Adela Muhammad. You never did close me out. It's the same person with the question before yours.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Hey, right, sister,
assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam, Brother Tremika.
This my big sister right here.
That's my big brother.
Praise be to Allah. Praise
yes,
be to
sir.
Allah.
Okay, Sister Niambi, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So, Brother Tremika, my next question is kind of a two-part question. And so which of the nine ministries or how have the nine ministries aided you in your work, and which of the nine ministries is aiding the most, would you say, in helping to develop your work?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you
yes,
hear
sir.
Me?
Were you ready? Yes,
yes,
sir.
Ma'am.
Were you ready to hear my question?
I heard your question, and thank you for that question. We develop the nine ministries as we get the talent to do it, right? So the ministry, well, I'll start backwards. The ministry of agriculture, the ministry of education, the ministry of health and human services, the ministry of economic development, and then we have the ministry of arts and culture. Those are the five ministries that we have some groundwork laid for right now. The one that helps us the most has been the ministry of trade and commerce, for economic development. Our people have latched on to that one more than any other. That has been our biggest contributor. That is our largest team, our most consistent team, is our Ministry of Trade and Commerce. So that's been our biggest contributor. But when a person comes into the LOC, we have a form. And the form that we have asks what their interests are, and it asks what their talent is. When they identify what their talent is, then we find out, are you interested in taking responsibility of this particular ministry? We don't start a ministry unless we have somebody to take responsibility. This is how we're able to keep our consistency. So we're not all over the place. If we don't have a dedicated person, we don't have that ministry. That's just the bottom line to it. If we have a dedicated person, then we have that ministry. And then what we do, if we take that talented person and we start looking for individuals in the community that have the same interests. So if I'm interested in, if I find someone that's interested in education and they're willing to take point, then I find brothers and sisters that also are interested in education, regardless of whether they have the background or the experience. That's not important right now. Are you interested? Are you dedicated? And then we couple those individuals together, and then we give them instruction. We tell them you need a chair, you need a co-chair, you need a secretary, and you need something like a some person that's like a support, at least one. And that four, they become the principal of that particular ministry, and they move out. And then what we do on a greater scale is around that core, we have the LOC individuals, member support, but we start reaching out to the greater community to get the greater community to support that same individual. And we just keep that same model going over and over again. Sometimes, it shoots off. Sometimes we find ourselves starting over again, you know, and that's just the reality. But we don't stop. We don't quit. And that's it. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir.
Now, for those of us, and I don't, if y'all, I want to share something. If you don't have a question, for those of us who are looking for a blueprint, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan laid out the blueprint of the nine ministries and what it should look like in Closing the Gap. I believe it's starting on page 271. I pray to Allah I'm right. If a Muslim is on the line and you've got your Closing the Gap, look at page 271. And it's one of the largest covering, but the minister goes into the nine ministries and what the structure should look like in Closing the Gap. And if it ain't on page 271, just read the whole book. It'll benefit.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah.
Okay. So is there anything in particular that you're working on right now?
It is. So it's been something that we've been keeping under wraps. But the minister said it like this. He said that we should start developing colonies. He said we should think like colonies, little colonies in our communities. So one of the things that we decided to do is to adopt an area. And we picked the area that we have adopted. And we start working in that area. That area is going to be a demonstration of all of the nine ministries. So in that area, we'll have community gardens. We'll teach and train the brothers and sisters on how to protect their own community. In that area, we're going to create economic buying power. In other words, we're going to teach our people how to pool their resources in the area so that they can begin to purchase property and businesses. We are going to start we've decided it's going to be a Saturday school first, and that Saturday school is going to be held in another area that's very close. Eventually, we want to develop that into a school. We've actually come up with a plan, a two-year plan, on how to develop our own school. So everything that we're doing here as an LOC locally, we'll do it in that area. But we've adopted that area so that we can demonstrate to the community what a concentrated effort looks like here in Phoenix, so that we can repeat that in little pockets all around the community. So that's the first time we've talked about on this line. It's the first time we've talked about that publicly. And it's something we've been working on for the last, I would say, about 4 or 5 weeks. And we've been having great success. And it's with brothers. We made the point. We said to the brothers and sisters in the community, we're not bringing outside people in. We're the only outsiders. We want to show you how to develop your own community. So if we leave tomorrow, you will know what to do. You will know what to do.
Sister Nyambe, can I ask a question?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Yes, Brother Chamikas. If you could describe for us your core group, because you're doing a lot, and I know it's not, as you said, it's not a one-man show. If you could just describe, it's up to you whether you say names or just key positions, but it's always one of my interests whenever I see successful black people working together. What key partners and players do they have that's responsible for bringing it to be?
The minister said, find those with like minds. Like minds. So we don't look at profession. We don't look at necessarily your background or your experience. We don't do that. In the initial stage, we haven't done that. It's only when we developed the ministries that we focused on that. So I'm saying that to say that our core group is brothers and sisters with like mind, regardless of their affiliations, religious affiliations. We got political affiliation. We're not concerned with that. We present to them the bare bones idea of the Justice of Else movement. Do you agree with that? I agree. Are you willing to help to work to build that? I will. And then we call them to the work, and then we watch to see those who are dedicated, those who will go on, and that's been our success. Our success is that we laugh sometimes, me and my wife. This one particular brother, I'll say his name is Brother Ali. And me and Brother Ali are like twins. We don't even make a decision together unless we got somebody that opposes us. because we think exactly alike. And the way that we set up the structure, Brother Carlton, is using the Atonement Commission. Remember, and Dr. Eileen taught on this, and we talked about consensus. Consensus. So we don't have necessarily, even though I'm technically considered the head of the LLC, it's not really that way because we make group decisions.
Mm.
We make group decisions. And
deliberative dialogue.
Deliberative dialogue. And we talk about the idea of whether or not it worked. Because guess what? I might have the passion, but I might have a bad idea. So I need somebody. We need people around us who can critique our idea. We don't allow gossip. We don't allow slack talk. You're not going to badmouth another member of the LLC, nor do we allow you to come into the LLC badmouthing other people. See, we stay away from that. Why? Because we're trying to preserve brotherhood and we're trying to preserve sisterhood and open honesty where I can share my opposing idea and view and I don't feel like I'm ostracized because of it, because I don't agree with group thinking, because sometimes group thinking is wrong. So just to bring that into a nutshell, Brother Carlton, we find those with like minds. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that if you want to open up a grocery store, you find four or six of you who have that same thought, idea, who have experience in that area, and you begin the process of opening up a grocery store. But you got to start somewhere. Like minds is what we look for.
Thank you, sir.
And I want to add to that real quick. If a person is not of that same mindset, we waste no time with things that don't exist. We don't spend a whole lot of time arguing with you whether or not independence is needed. Either you with independence or you're not. If you're not, then you go ahead and you do what you're going to do. But we're not bringing people in our circle who do not believe in what we're doing. That's very important because we'll spend a lot of time arguing back and forth and debating with people, and it takes away from the progress. No, we don't do that. You don't do that at all.
That's an excellent point, Brother Tremegas. And I hate that we don't have more time for you to elaborate on that aspect of the question or your response. But before we have to go, for anyone that might want to reach out to you that may have more questions or that may be on the line who is in your local area, and may want to join local LLC there in Arizona. What's your contact information?
Yes, ma'am. So you can reach me on Facebook at Brother Tremegas, or you just type in Tremegas Muhammad, Tremikus. That's Tremikus. I'm the only Tremegas in the world. I'm not hard to find. So if you type in Tremegas Muhammad on Facebook, it'll pull up my information. I have a personal page. You can't add. I have a new page you can add, and you can message me directly on Facebook, or you can reach us at Justice Arizona justiceorelsearizona@gmail.com. justiceorelsearizona@gmail.com. You can check us out on the web, phxloc.org. phxloc.org.
Okay, very good. Praise be to Allah. Okay, with that, Brother Carlson, did you have anything
yes, ma'am.
Else you wanted to
ask? I just want to thank Brother as well, taking time. I think it's, what, 4 o'clock there in Phoenix, Brother?
It's 5:56.
5:56, yes, sir. We're going to thank you for, that's right, Arizona's got that strange time. They don't have the times, they have a different time zone. But I just want to thank you very much for taking whatever time it is there out of your schedule. You're very busy, brother, and a lot of people depend on you. And please, brother, we want to, we see you join the Time to Leave movement on Facebook. Thank you very much. At any time you want to give us any reports or any updates, or if you have any events that you'd like us to share with our listeners and our page, please share us with us. And we want to thank you, and may Allah bless you and the believers there in Phoenix with more success, and keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you all. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you.
And thank you too, Sister Niambe, for finding such a wonderful guest. And may Allah bless us all with success as we strive to build our own independent communities. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Sister Niambe. Wa alaykum salam.
Yes, sir.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed.
Uh-huh.
Down and out, losing ground.
Yeah.
Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic.
Mm.
Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel,
uh-huh.
not just my spare tire. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more country. Fast eyes burst into Richmond, where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walk, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came, my family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be, he guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry.